next storyteller is Leland Brand. Leland's actually a graduate of our workshops. I think he's been in two of our workshops, and he's a special, there's a breed of man that attends my workshops. It's happened many times. It's the, my wife sent me to this workshop, which is a thing. It's happened like many, many times where we go around in a workshop and I say, why are you here? And there's a guy that says, my wife told me this would be good for me. And that's why he came to us originally. Now, Leland is one of those really frustratingly talented storytellers who was good right off the bat. He's been the guy that I've been sort of hunting for a long time. There's storytellers out there who haven't told stories for me, and I know who they are, and I feel like I'm a big game hunter, and when I get Leland on the stage, I feel like I've landed a big one. So you're in for a treat tonight. Leland has an interesting background. He gave me lots of information that frankly astounded me, that he was in a commercial with that gymnast from the 80s, the Mary Lou Retton. Yeah, he was in a commercial with Mary Lou Retton. And he also is referenced in a Seinfeld episode. His name was used as a business, that Kramer. Yeah, you're like, yes, you're right. It was him. Yeah, he peaked, just like Kobe peaked early. Apparently, Leland also peaked very early in life. Those are big things for him. When we asked him what his song was, the one he likes to travel around, he gave us a list of songs. He's like, if I'm traveling with Lynn, I like this song because it's a sing-along. And I was thinking, me and Alicia have never been like, let's find a sing-along for the next 5 miles, honey. But I zeroed right in on the last song, which is actually the truth, the real song that he just didn't want to admit to. It's Europe's The Final Countdown, which is not, I feel like that's sort of like the Meatloaf version of the Europe. Like, I feel like if I had told Alicia that we were listening to the Europe Final Countdown Pandora station, I might have gotten the same reaction that I got from Meatloaf. So it's sort of one of those songs that you love, but you really don't want to admit to anyone that when you're driving around, that's the song you're listening to. But apparently that is the song that he listens to a lot. Leland also, I discovered tonight, goes by the name Lance occasionally. Apparently, there was an invitation to a wedding that was mislabeled. Instead of Leland, it said Lance, and he has become Lance. So apparently, a lot of people in the front row are aware of this. So you can call him Leland. I think it's interesting because Julie has taken on the name Piper tonight, so she's sort of had a little bit of a name change. So you can call Leland Leland, or after his story, if you really like it, you can go up to him and say, hey, Lance. I liked your story a lot. So how about a nice round of applause for Leland Lance.
It's June 1993, New York City. I'm a year out of college. And amazingly enough, I actually have a full-time job. I'm not sure who's more surprised, me or my parents. Even more amazing is the fact that my undergraduate history degree from Oberlin College actually has something to do with my job. My senior year, I worked on a thesis about the impacts of Title IX, which were these educational amendments signed into law in the early 70s, and how it impacted women's intercollegiate athletics. I'm now the membership manager at the Women's Sports Foundation, which is a nonprofit founded by Billie Jean King in the early 70s after the passage of Title IX. I'm the membership manager there. And I like to think of myself sort of as a pioneer, like Billie Jean King, because I'm the first male employee there ever. I don't get a plaque, but as the only male employee, I do get my own bathroom. Other than that, it's pretty much like any other nonprofit job. The hours are ridiculously high, and the pay is comically low. I have enough to pay for food and my garage. I make about $12,000 to $13,000 after taxes. So I live at home in my parents' place, in the room I grew up in, on the Air Force side. The job used to be a little bit better because the offices were located at 342 Madison Avenue, which is just right around the corner from Grand Central Station. It was a quick subway ride to get to and from work. But in the spring, we moved out to East Meadow, New York, which is in Long Island, out near Hofstra University. The only silver lining here is I get to drive my car again, and I love my car. I have a 1989 Mazda 626 LX four-door hatchback with five-speed manual transmission and an auto-reverse cassette deck. This car has been a trusted and valued companion. It has taken me back and forth to Ohio numerous times and on a rather circuitous road trip through Joplin, Missouri, where I went to small claims court, and Kansas, where I saw the world's largest hay bale, and even the northeast corner of Wyoming, where I got to see Devil's Tower. It's even served as a makeshift RV a few times in some state parks during some downpours. Today is Friday. and I'm eager to get out of work on time, and it's very challenging. Because you see, not only do I have my first full-time job after college, I have my first full-time girlfriend. Lynn and I met at the foundation. Now, nothing happened while we were there, but afterwards we found we were always talking on the phone and doing things together, and we had all these things that we liked to do in common. We liked to play Scrabble and squash and boggle. We both liked the fish-out-of-water romantic comedy Northern Exposure on CBS. She loved to exercise, and I didn't. One day she surprised me at my place and came over and ended up going on a tour of the apartment with my parents, getting to see my mother's collection of orthopedic neck pillows. They loved her. This is our first weekend away together. We're gonna go to Cape Cod to her father's place up there. Now, I've only spent a very brief amount of time with him, and he has a very big personality. In fact, the first and really only conversation we've had so far is he told me that he needed my shorts, the ones I was wearing. It was a little awkward, and I'm hoping that this weekend gives us a better chance to get to know each other. I managed to get out of work, I get my car, and start heading back towards Manhattan. The traffic gods are angry with me that day, and the cars quickly form a conga line of traffic as we inch our way past Shea Stadium, LaGuardia Airport, and across the Triborough Bridge. Eventually, I get home, I get my stuff, and I drive over East 88th Street and pick Lynn up. We head north for the four-hour drive to Cape Cod. About an hour into the drive, we're somewhere in the middle of Connecticut, and I realize we're not gonna make it. More specifically, I'm not gonna make it. I'm exhausted. I can't keep my eyes open. I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning, and we have reached a crossroads in our relationship just a few months in. Do I trust this woman enough with my beloved car? I look at her. Lynn, I'm kind of tired. Do you think you could drive? Oh, sure, she tells me. She used to have a Honda Prelude with a manual transmission. She can drive stick. This is kind of promising. I pull the car over on the shoulder. We switch sides. She gets in. She adjusts the mirrors, which I like. She puts down the clutch, puts the car in first, and feathers the gas. The car moves forward. There's no bucking. There's no lurching. Second, third, fourth, fifth gear. Soon we're up to highway speed, and everything's going well. This is promising. I recline my seat, and I close my eyes, and I start to listen to one of the mixtapes we have on the stereo. I know that noise. That's the sound of the auto-reverse mechanism switching from side A to side B. I don't think I'm going to sleep for that long. So maybe, you know, what is it, 30 minutes aside to each, you know, part of the tape? I decide to open my eyes and sneak a look at my lady friend. Now, I expect to see her angelic face illuminated by the amber glow of the dashboard lights. What I see instead makes me sit up straight. When I think of people driving, I always think, you know, their hands are 10 and 2, they're sort of reclined, they're comfortable, you know, typical driving posture. She is driving with her hands at 12 and 12. She is so far forward, it looks like she's trying to do a chin-up over the steering wheel. And then she does something totally insane. She releases her right hand from the steering wheel, extends two fingers, brings them to her lips, and licks them. She takes those two fingers and brings them to her closed right eye and brings them across her eyelid as if she's putting on eyeshadow. She puts the hand back on the steering wheel. She releases the left hand and repeats the action. Two fingers to her lips, moistened with saliva, across the eye, back in the steering wheel. As calmly as I can, I say, "What you doing?" Lynn says, equally calmly, "Oh, I'm licking my eyelids." I rephrase. "I can see that. Why?" She proceeds to explain that this technique helps keep her eyes cool and helps keep her awake and implies this is something that many people do. I don't have the heart to tell her that nobody does this. "I'm up," I tell her. I think that nap really refreshed me. I don't tell her I have a lot of adrenaline right now. She pulls the car over and we switch sides. I put the car in gear and we continue on our drive to Cape Cod. Within 5 minutes, she is fast asleep. Now, I'm not sure why she was so tired. She only drove for 25 minutes or so. I'm alone in the car with my thoughts as we continue to the Cape, and I think, what just happened? Who is this person? I trusted her with my car, and she trusted me with her crazy gecko eyelid-licking thing. What does that mean? We not only drive to the Cape, but we continue driving over the years as our journey continues together, and we come to many other crossroads in our relationship. Marriage, two children, a business, a relocation. All of these things involving major amounts of trust. And yet this one crossroad, driving, plagues me. Finally, decades, well, maybe 1.5 decades later, I start to let her drive while I'm in the car. But I always keep one eye open. Thank you.